going to do will be oil in his hand. You will see me walking very slow nowadays, like a really old man. And since the last Sunday when I came up here, the whole of those week, each and every passing day, I find hard to sit for long and to stand for long, and I can't stretch myself because my whole abdomen is distended and very tight. It's like a balloon that is blown so big that it's about to burst. So these are all my trial. I find it hard to sleep at night as usual, and it's time I got up. You know, I have to go through a battle. You just trying to talk to the Lord and praying. The devil is right there just throwing fiery darts into the battlefield up here. And I'm really exhausted. Really, really exhausted. Like a brother in Philippines, a pastor said just a few years back, he said, "Brother Gunn, you already have passed the 40 years of your ministry in the missionary, in the apostolic ministry, and 50 years in the truth." And that will be, I think, 2 years back. Somebody won, I came into the message, and 2000, yeah. Elizabeth, so 2022 will be just past 50 years, he said. I said, we are very grateful for your ministry. We have learned a lot. Like others have said to me, we will probably be in a mess. In a cultic spirit, in Brahmanism, if it wasn't for your ministry. I mean, there are so many that wrote me over the years. And, I'm grateful that the Lord has appointed me to be a watchman on the wall. The years of struggle. You know, I don't want to be a preacher, but God just put hurdles after hurdles before me to block what my path or what I want to be. So at the age of 18 years old, I realized that I have to seek His face for His will. And it wasn't an easy thing. And I don't even know what to do. Because when the Lord told me and showed me that I have a ministry, I don't even know what to do. And I told you, you know, that being in a denomination, I was thinking that I need to go to a Bible school and get a Bible degree or something like that, and how am I going to do it, because my family, I'm the firstborn, and mom was then a domestic helper because my father was in good health condition because of his bad ulcer that he had at that time. My medical science could not trace what happened to him. Well, then, you know, message came in 71. There was would be 23 years old, I guess. And then I realized something. It is not an easy thing because I'm given a ministry that there is no what we call a system. Like if I'm in the denomination, an organized church, there would be support from the organization. But the Lord just led me all the way to start with a little few of those believers that came out from the denomination church, and we went to fellowship, and the Lord started to lead in the ministry. You know, as days go by, to months, to years, the Lord opened my mind to the Word. And being that, you know, you are in the message that God has given us through Brother Branham, a simple direct message of calling us out from the denomination, calling us out from tradition, from the spirit of darkness in all the churches. You face a lot of opposition. Friends whom you know in the churches, and they will attack the prophet Brother Branham all because of extremist believers that have been back then in the 60s, 70s. So you know, the Lord just opened my mind to the Word and just told me to just continue doing what He told me to do. And I just wait for the time. So I waited 10 years before the Lord says, do your apostolic ministry now. That's how I began to travel. And of course, I kept everything a secret about my ministry. And I got a lot of opposition here in Singapore. And then after a few years, just 2-3 years down the road, I got opposition from all these big churches in America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Europe. You know, this fellowship is so small. But for those overseas, because the Lord sent me to minister to them, they loved the Word so much that they thought that I have a big church. I told you this. And they don't believe that I don't have a big church. They thought I have a building with 1,000 people. When I told them I have about 30 believers that come and go, we don't have registered membership because God is looking for the elect. God is calling the sheep. As Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He's not calling all the Tom, Dick, and Harry who holds the tradition. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell. And ho, 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 ho. And people believe in that nonsense. You believe in this as if this will protect you from evil. Nothing. Because tradition is so deep that even you see in movie like Dracula, you take a cross, the girl got scared. As if the crucifix has a power. And denomination, Protestant denomination, they themselves are no different, no much different. Because the Bible tells us, the mother of harlots, Roman Catholicism is the mother of harlots. And he said that the harlots must be the daughters. And who are the daughters? And we know that are the denomination that came after they started to organize. God called the man of God to bring out the truth. But over time, when the man of God died, the people that gathered around him start to form into an organization. And they are not much different from Catholicism. And the very same thing that we have today, this message that Brother Branham gave it to us, just to come back to the Word. He always points to the Word. And yet we have believers out there, Branhamites out there, that take the book of Brother Branham and make it absolute. Sister Grady wrote me an email, and I think I posted, no, I didn't post that one and share with you, but the second one, she asked a question. She gave a quote because somebody asked her, I believe. Brother Branham said this, that the fallen angel of God, that the sons of God mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 6 and in the book of Job, those sons of God, they are angels. You know, and asked me how to explain this. And I told her, I have to tell her, I said that the prophet, after many statements, as human being would, when you're preaching, there are bound to be mistakes in your trying to expound it. And I said, look further down the text of what Brother Branham said. He said, the sons of God are born. So I said, angels are born? Are angels born or are angels created? So sometimes Brother Branham says certain things, people get very confused and they just take what Brother Branham said and make it into sacred scripture. And I've been facing all these years because people bring the quotes of Brother Branham and ask me this question and that question. You know, it has been a big stress for me over these many years having to fight this spirit, standing on the Word of God and show the people the truth of the Scripture. Not the truth of what Brother Branham said in his sermon, where they use that. And it's quite a fight all these many, many years. When times when I went to Africa, India, the Philippines, and when they heard me preach for the first time when I used no quotes of Brother Branham, just the scripture, many people were offended because they said that I'm speaking bad about the prophet of God. Because your mind are so twisted to where they believe that the prophet made no mistakes. Nevertheless, anyway, over the years past, some of them realized that the only foundation that you and I have, the only foundation that the child of God stands on, is this very Word of God. Amen. This Word of God. Amen. The sacred scripture, the written sacred word. And if you cannot understand this, it is because you don't have guidance. You don't understand it, it's because you don't have men of God sent in the fivefold ministry that can take the Word of God and expound it to you. And there are a lot of people that say to me, Bergan, you think that you are better than the prophet Brother Branham? I said, no, I'm a nobody. But it got open my mind to see this scripture like he did to Brother Branham on certain mysteries. And I told them, I said, the mystery of God is not all finished. There are still plenty more. There are still truths that are hidden. But it will be unfolding because the revelation of God is progressive. It keeps on unfolding itself that we can see a better picture of the will and the purpose of God. That's true, isn't it? But they won't want to say it. They only say that if Brother Branham don't preach it or teach it or have taught it, it is not important. Well, Brother Branham never preached on it, it is not important for us. That's what they said. No wonder today we have a bunch of people who call themselves preachers who are not preachers at all. They're comedians coming to the pulpit to make everybody happy, make everybody laugh. Not just in the charismatic, not just in the Pentecostal churches. They are going wild. Go on the internet and look at it. I was on Facebook and I came to one section where somebody put it up as false prophet exposed. You could see the whole lot of video these people extract from all these websites of this prophet and put them, and you can really laugh at it. They act like comedian and they fake miracles. They can raise the dead in a coffin. And it was in the news, the doctor said this person wasn't dead. And they were actually paid. Family were paid. That the man act as dead and the wife cried. And then you have those people were considered friend. You say, yeah, I saw him die. He died already several hours ago. And the pastor came around with the thousands of people, put a hand there, and come on in to rack. And he racks out of the coffin and act like he's confused. And the people doesn't even understand. There are religious people in the world, throughout the whole world, start from America to Europe, to Africa, to India, to Philippines. Philippines, a whole lot, bunch of them too. A lot of fakers. Where, brother and sister, where are we standing today? Where are we? As children of God, where are we standing? What are we standing? Today my message is God's threshing floor. That's a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace that we are able to be here today, Lord. I thought, Father, that I won't be able to stand up here this morning because of the pain. But yet again, Lord, whenever I stand here, you take care of all that. Your will be done in our life, Father. You have every purpose as a potter to do with the clay. And I'm a clay, a lump of clay, Father, that you shape, mold, and desire to do whatever you will. So, Lord, Father, as we gather now, it is time to look into thy word. Open our hearts and our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to a book of Matthew, chapter 3. And verse 11 to 12. Here it is, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I preached this message 13 years ago. Some of you may not be here yet. I preached it back then when we were having communion. My mom was there. I'm not sure whether it was the first time that she was taking the communion. I can't remember. When I go back and listen to the message, I realize that I was really tough on some of you brothers and sisters in the church. And I guess I'll do the same today. Because I need to let you all know. The first thing is this, that when the Lord called me to start a ministry within this little fellowship. Well, you know, sometimes people ask, if they will ask you, what church do you belong to? Just tell them you belong to the church of God. No, what I mean is, what church, what's the name of your church, where is the building? You see, the word church has become a problem with the mentality of people. Now, when you talk about a church, you think about a building that you go to. A church is not a building. A church building is a church building. But the church of God is ecclesias, means the called out one. You, we all make the church. And so when people ask you what is the church, tell you about a fellowship in a little fellowship group. In a little assembly of believers. And sometimes they ask, how big is the group? Back then I told you one time, this Christian who knows me and knew that I have about, at that time we were about 12 people fellowship in the home. And then two years after that, I think he met me again. He said, how big is the fellowship now? I said, it's still about 12. Oh, God is not with you. My church, he said, my church has grown to more than 100 now. I said, okay then, God is with you. That means you are still not God with you. Because what, the Catholic Church has more than that. You want to talk about quantity? God is not interested in quantity. God is interested in quality. Amen. That's what the Bible talks about, purging. Purification. Now I'm serious about this because all the years when the Lord taught me in the ministry to build a church, I'm not building a community church. You know what's a community church? I don't believe in a community church. You know what a community church is? I want what kind of church do I want? A church that is a family, not a community. A community is where you go to community center, the community hall, where all kinds of people will come. The church is a family of God. But of course, the church has different kind of believers. There are three kinds of believers. True believers, make believers, and unbelievers. So what kind of believer are you then? You look at yourself and find out what kind of believer you are. Today is Sunday. Today is Christmas Day. I see the churches are full of people. Right? Espousing Catholicism. Flipping espousing because it's a Catholic country. Wherever there is a Catholic country, look into it, study history. Wherever there is a Catholic, a country that is majority of Catholic, that country has a whole lot of problems. Don't believe me? Look into history. Because it's a spiritism. Yes, the highest form of spiritism is Catholicism. What do they believe in? Do they believe in the one true Savior, Jesus? Oh yes, we believe in Jesus. Then why do you pray to Mary? Did she die for you? Why do you pray to the saints? St. Patrick, St. whatever, as if they will guide you? They are dead saints. They are over the other side. They cannot communicate with you. Mary cannot communicate with you. She's human. Only God can communicate with you. And Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Catholics are saying, no man cometh unto the Father but by my Mary. You know, sometimes the reasoning is that Mary has heart is more tender because she's a mother. Really? So God's heart is not tender. A woman's heart is more tender than a man. So Mary's heart is more tender than Jesus Christ because he's a man and because he's a son. And the son will listen to the mother. So pray to Mary and Mary will tell the son and the son will tell you something. Where did that tradition come from? That's why tradition is so blinded the people around the world for years. And God is choosing those as the Bible will say, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the word of God said, what the Spirit of God said. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Other voices they will not hear. regardless whether it's the Pope, the priest, the pastor, whatever they say, if it is not the voice of God according to the Word of God, then you should not be hearing it. Because a true sheep will not hear. That's very true. You know, out there in the field, you have different shepherds with the herds of sheep. They're all grazing in the field. When a shepherd calls, the sheep that belong to this particular shepherd, they will come to him. They will not go to the other shepherd. They will come to him. Here now we read this verse. What John said, a prophet of God, a messenger of God, introducing the Christ to the people. And he said this, I baptize indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that come after me, that is Christ come after me, whose shoes I am not worthy even to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now I want to tell you the thing about fire. That's why we as Christians, our journey is not an easy road. Along the road, there is a lot of thorns. And their fire will be sent to purge us. Trials. The Holy Spirit that comes into us, set us on fire, purging us to realize, to see the word of truth. You know, in the Philippines, in the southern part of America, South America, many of these countries, they are, you know, conquered by the Spanish. And you know, the Spanish brought with them the conquistador, they brought along with them this religion of Catholicism. And when Catholicism ruled over them, you have that tradition. And it's very hard for the people to accept what truth is. They wouldn't want to change because they can't hear. But I know that some of you here were Catholic before. Sister Lucy, right? Who of you were Catholic before? I'm like, yes. Right? When you realize that the Bible says so many places, thou shalt have not graven images. And yet look at what church today have a lot of graven images. The Catholic Church. And many of these images, and even all those, you know, the hosts and whatever you have, you know, the church have this round thing, you all know that now, where the wafer is. It traces back all the way to the book of Genesis, to paganism. God is not three. But we have a Son of God, and where to go back to ancient time, and you find that they have to worship the sun god, and they bring it over into the church. Men must compromise to gain people. Don't believe me? Look at what happened in Malaysia during the recent political election. Right? They want to compromise. The party want to compromise. The king tell them to work together. They compromise to try to bring to a proper system and organization. But I think that's going to be a problem. You know, when we come to the word of the Lord, you cannot compromise the word of God. You cannot take God's word and you compromise with tradition and ideas just because you want to embrace more people. You know what I mean? There's a church just today. Well, in Africa, unbelievable. Whole lot of it over there in Nigeria, Ghana, Western Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia even, Malawi, South Africa. A lot of churches that gets very big just within a few years because the preacher has a big mouth, making people laugh. And what do they have? It's a It's a time where they have entertainment. They go to church for entertainment. Now you are here not for to be entertained. You are here for truth. To hear the word of God and get your life straightened out with the word of God. Especially we are in this last day. Look at America, what happened in America. Look at all these climate changes. What happened? Look at the earthquake in the last 2-3 years. What is going on? Look at the wars, the pestilence, the Bible, what Jesus said, are being fulfilled in these last few years. And Israel is getting ready for the coming of the Messiah. Possibly within the next 2 years or so. This coming year, you know, America is going to have this pre-election thing until 2024. Look at what is happening right now, politically. Nation are fighting against themselves, the people, between the Republican and the Democratic. What's happening? Look at the US dollar. Does it make sense? They're in debt, and yet the world is using that dollar. Once the money collapses, we will see what happens. But as long as America knows, that as long as people are using the greenback, it will survive. That's why many countries are trying to pull away from the greenback. Because it's worthless. So if you have a lot of money in the greenback, you'll be sorry. Look at all the corruption. Look at the cryptocurrency. How people started it, make millions of dollars, then next moment it collapsed. Because this is not real gold, no real cash. I think one of the countries that have gold to back up the money, their dollar is Singapore. One of the few countries. American dollar is not even worth. Back then when I was in the 70s or 80s, US dollar is worth for about 40 cents. And it keeps dropping. Today, you think the US dollar worth anything? I don't think even worth 1 cent. But the problem is people are using it. That's what America is pumping, you know. They don't have any backing. And I don't think this world that we live in is going to survive. Come next year, we're going to see more problems. Yes, we're going to see more problems. First of all, let me say this. What is the threshing floor here? We are talking about God's threshing floor. If you remember, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Alright, chapter 21, 1 Chronicles, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the ruler of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab, you know, Joab is a real general, very close to King David. And he had more wisdom than King David sometimes. The Lord made his people a great 100 times, so many more, so they be. But my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then do my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went through all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of people unto David. And all of Israel were 1,000,000, that is 1,000,000, and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 430,000 men that drew sword. But the Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them. For the king's word was abomination to Joab. And God was displeased with these things. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly, because I have done these things, and now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of my servant, toward I have of thy servant, what I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto God, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto you. So God said to David, came to David, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose you, either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy fall, thy foes, why that the sword of thy enemy overtake thee, or else 3 days, the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself, what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercy, and let me not fall into the hand of men. So now the reason, you know, the foolishness of King David. God do not intend the people to take a census. And now people ask, how many people you have in the church? Oh, 33 exactly. Oh, 37 exactly. Or we have 1,100. That's why we don't have a registry. We don't believe in register member. Because you're already a member of the body of Christ in heaven. Why? Amen. Register a church. And put your name down there. There's organization, and God do not intend Israel to ever number these people, to count the number so you feel secure. That's why King David wants to count the number of soldiers, men that can fight. God is against this thing. No matter how big the nation is, how small a nation is, if they are children of God, God would always protect them. And that's what happened to Israel today. Was because what was done in the days of Jesus Christ. They spurned the Messiah. They brought on for themselves a curse, so to speak. Right? When they crucified the Messiah, let his blood be upon us, upon our children, our children's children. And God took them at their word. And that's why Israel was scattered. And they do not even still know the Messiah. And still they go on the same journey in Judaism. But now, for the last, what I would say, 20-30 years, the gospel has gone into Israel little by little, and there are more Jewish people now that are turning to Christ. And then the Gentiles are failing off. Fewer Gentiles come to realize the truth. They are more in religious entertainment, in charismaticism, in Pentecostalism, and in cultism. But God is guarding the elect. And that's why every time you read the Bible, Jesus Christ always called the believer, the group of believers, little flocks. Scattered around the world, there are little groups like us. Little flocks. Not 1,000 people. All these big churches, they are not little flocks. They are big flocks of Satan, the end of God. And this is the truth because the Bible teaches it. When Jesus came, how many disciples did he have? 12. And one of them a devil. Right? 12. Yes, he preached to 1,000. But they are followers. They are not disciples. When trial and temptation come, all of them left Christ. So Jesus asked the disciple, are you going to leave me too? What did Peter say? Where will we go? For you alone have the word of eternal life. So where will you go? To this church, that church, unorganized church, go back to tradition. You got to come to Christ, the word of God. He alone has the word of eternal life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Always remember what Jesus said. You can never come to God the Father except through Christ Jesus. not to a saint, not to a prophet, not to Mary, not to anything, not to anybody, not to any kind of a worship. Just say, you that worship me in spirit and in truth. Worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit. You want to know about His spirit? Knowing that God is everywhere, can be present everywhere, that He can, you can talk to Him anytime, walk down the road, in your home cooking, in your workplace, the presence of God is there, you can talk to Him anytime. You don't have to go to a church to pray. Do you understand? Not that you need to go to do a pilgrim to Mecca, or go to Rome, or go to the shrine of some holy man. As if that you go there and pray, like you know, Christians, sometimes many of them like to go to, what is this place? Israel. So when they go to Israel, oh, the river Jordan! Let me get baptized again. Let me just go in the water and get someone baptized again. What virtue is that? Of a Jesus baptizing you with Jordan. So you want to go there to get baptized with Jordan? What virtue is that for you? So Jesus died and was buried in what is the place where Jesus was buried? The place of the skull, Calvary Hill. He was buried in a sepulchre. Do you want to get buried in the sepulchre with Jesus? What virtue is that? No wonder here, you know, when King David did what he did, God wasn't pleased. Send the prophet God to him. Tell him there are three choices, you make one. What was the first choice that you're doing? The first is the famine. 3 years of famine. Or 3 years to be destroyed by the enemy. Or 3 days to fear the sword of the angel. David knows how to choose. 3 years of famine is too long. 3 months to be destroyed by the enemy. To be destroyed by the enemy. No. Like God sent His sword 3 days. Because somewhere along the line, King David knew that God is merciful. So he chose that. So the angel that went through Israel. So what he said, let's continue to read. 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Wow. Now when you talk about men, you're not just an old man. You talk about able-bodied men that can fight. Because when you are numbering the people of Israel, they are numbering the soldiers, those who are able to fight. 20 and above. Not numbering the children or the woman and the old men. They're numbering those who could fight. What is the use of a population of 1 million? When 90% of them are old men and children. Now you're going to fight. 70,000 men died. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough, stay thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Arnon, the Jebusite. You know, that's why King David know God is merciful. Why the angel of death sending the pestilences from one place to another, and I come to Jerusalem. From Israel, he come to Jerusalem now. And God said, hold it. Just imagine that. And he happened to be standing at the threshing floor of Onan.
And Johnson's story right here. That trust in flow. That's,
come here and read it.
And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elder of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their face. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I, it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people that should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded God to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar upon unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Anan, the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of God, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. Interesting, at the time when he was threshing wheat, and he was a Jebusite. And as David came to Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor, and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to you. Let my lord the king do that which is good in his eye. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offering, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meal offering. I give it all. And King David said unto Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offering without cause. And David gave it to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and burned and offered burnt offerings and peace offering, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. And that time when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord which Moses made in the wilderness and the altar of burnt offering were at that season in the high place of Gibeon. But David could not go before him to inquire of the Lord, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of God. See, what is this story so important to us? Because it's all about the threshing floor. The threshing floor. The angel came all the way to Jerusalem, right in that place. Interesting, isn't it? What is this threshing floor so important? Because the threshing floor mentioned here is in relation to judgment. God, that's what the angel were moving toward Jerusalem. And what is Jerusalem? The city of peace. But Jerusalem, even to today, will never at peace. But it's not about the literal city. It is about the spiritual city that God is showing us. Because in this earth, as long as we are on this earth, but we are the holy city in the making. And as long as we are the holy city in the making on this physical earth, there will be no peace. Your journey is full of battles. Right? And as Paul said, we don't have any continuing city. We don't live here continually. We are always on the move. I mean, even here, we gather in this place on
Last year we were in another place, right? Before that we were in another place. Before that, where were we? I remember we moved from our place and we started in the home, and then we have in Jimmy's home. Then we went to a YMCA down in the city. What is the place called? Pampa Road. Huh? From there we are back into Jimmy's another place again. Then after that we went in River Valley. Then we went to Airport. And then now we are here. In fact, before Airport, I mean after Airport, we are in home because of the pandemic. Now we are here. I don't know where we're going to go next year, maybe or 2 years. We don't know where we're going to go because we don't have a continuous city. We are always on the move, spiritually as well as physically. In the physical, there will be trial. There will be battle. The devil will not stop battling us. But in the spiritual, we should have peace. For God has given us a peace. Amen. Peace that the world cannot give. Only God. So, the transient floor coming to that place, the angel was about to destroy the people in Jerusalem. But God stopped it. That's one thing. It's a place of judgment. Number two, a transient floor signifies separation. Separation, because that's why you have the threshing to gather the wheat into the garden. Right? So a place of destruction as well as blessing. Because God is separating something that is important to Him. Well, we know it's a threshing floor here. And I don't know whether you know what threshing floor looks like. I think in the Philippines that you have in some area in the province. When you gather the rice grain or the barley or even corn, you have a place that is an open area. A big open area. And if you go to Israel, you go to some place in the Middle East or even a place where they grow wheat, corn, rice. But of course, today in the modern world, you don't hardly see that, except in the provinces, in the village. But in a big country like America, what do they use? They use a combine, then you have to have the machine to do all the work. You go to India, you go to the Middle East, and all those provinces, they still use the hand. You find them. And threshing floor are usually, almost always 100% on a place that is elevated. Why? Because we need the height for the wind to blow the chaff away during the threshing, during the winnowing. Because on top of the model. And why is this place that we read in the story in Chronicle here? Huh? That is the place of Onan. It was on an elevation. What was that place called? That where the temple was built, what was it called? Mount Zion. That's what the place is. It's up elevated. That's why David offered a sacrifice. Why? The temple is right. The tabernacle is right in Gibeon. He can't go all the way there. Because you see what happened? God is showing that the temple of God is in Jerusalem. It's going to be built there. The tabernacle is only a temporary structure, right? Whenever they move, they go. But the temple is built solid. And that's what later on David's son, what's his name? Solomon, built the temple. Think about it. Elevation. On the top of Mount Zion is a city. That's where the winds are going to be blowing.
And when they do the threshing and do the winnowing, the chaff can be moved away. So the place, wow, destruction came and almost destroyed the people in the city of Jerusalem. But God stayed the angel. Don't do it. And David then buy the place from Onan. Put a sacrifice. And yet when Onan offered everything free to him, he says, no, not 1 cent. I'll get it for free. And pay for everything that is worth the value of the place. Do you know what? God purchased us with a price. He offered us with a price. Yet we said, salvation is free. And yet we don't realize that there was a price paid, a heavy price paid for us. It is not a small thing. It cost the life of God's only begotten Son. That's right. And David paid a full price for it, offered God a sacrifice. And then the angel put his sword back into his sheath. So, now there's a place, but think about the threshing place. When you do threshing, you know, in Israel there are different seasons of time where they grow different crops. The first is barley, and then the wheat, and then the corn. When they gather the barley or the wheat or the corn, you know how they gather. They go out there and cut down the whole stalk. They bundle it up, they bring it back all to the threshing floor and they thresh it. I mean, they use hand to thresh it so that they can remove all the grains. The stalks, they threw it away. But when they get fall onto the floor, if you have all the dead leaves, dry leaves, and the grain, of course, have a chaff or a husk over it. That's threshing. What is it called threshing? Because that's what it is. Don't be naughty or threshing. And we are going under the same thing, you know. God is separating, removing. Removing what? The first thing he's done is to get us out from something that don't belong to us. God is looking for the grain, looking for the seed. He's not looking for the stalk or the leaf. That's what he do. Taking away falsehood in our life, lies, traditions, things that are contrary to the spirit of the life of God. Now, we call ourselves Christian. Examine yourself. Are we living to the expectation of God? It's easy for us to call ourselves a Christian. Because everybody wants to go to heaven. Oh yeah, Jesus Christ saved me. Believe in Him and I shall be saved. And they take the Bible out of context. And I say this many times. I can guarantee you this is true. 99.9% of the Catholic people don't read the Bible. Because they were already told in the first place that they cannot interpret. So many people don't even read. And 90% of the Protestants, they may read the Bible once in a while. Or when they are in trouble, they ask God for an answer. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and turn the page. You know what I'm saying? Eeny, meeny, miny, miny, moe. Okay. Oh, then they point to a verse and they read it. And they're expecting God to answer them like that. How many of us here, through the Spirit, already studied the Word of God? Think. Is this word precious to you? If I'm lost in the mountain, the only thing I want to have is this Bible. That's why when I travel overseas, my Bible goes with me in my carry bag. Not in the luggage, checking luggage. So should the plane crash and I survive, I have at least the Bible with me. Because it is life. The Word of God. Do you understand that? So, separating, purification, so that we could be gathered in the garden of God. The first thing, of course, is the treasure. All the grain fell off, dead leaves are so far off, the stalk is fine, thrown away and burned. So what you have on the floor is a pile of grains with chaff, with leaves, dead leaves, right? Whatever. What's the next thing to do? It's winnowing the fan. It's not a fan that you fan. It's a big spade thing, like a fan. So they could dig into the whole pile of fallen grains, dead leaves, and chaff. Right? And then throw it into the. Throw up high, let the wind blow. Isn't it? That's what they did. So it will be blown away. All those chaff that is out there will be blown away. The sand, fine sand that are on the floor, whatever, the dry leaves. And then the grain will be gathered into the garden. God's granary, God's house. That's right now, here. In the world of Christianity, think about it. God is separating a people. And I believe it is very true that if we observe, like what Abraham observed, and he said, the bride is so small, 1% or 1%. Wow, he may be exaggerating, maybe not. Huh? 1% of 1%. When Jesus came, he had 12 disciples. He preached to how many thousands of people, right? 5,000, 4,000, 2,000, whatever he went. People will follow, he'll sit down, he'll speak to 1,000 people. What you read in the Bible, you talk about the breaking of bread, right? You know, fish and all that. So many thousand people, so many thousand people. But the Bible didn't tell you how many times he had been traveled to a certain place to preach. And thousands of people will hear him. Think about it. And yet when he started to preach the truth, you know, people like to hear, oh, blessed are thou, blessed are thou, blessed are thou. You know the beatitude? Blessed are the peacemaker. Oh yeah, I'm the peacemaker. Blessed are the pure in heart. Yes, I am. I don't hear evil thoughts of other people. So, when Jesus preached a simple thing, everybody is happy to hear. But when he started to preach the truth, they can't take it. They can't take it. I and the Father are one. What is very hard to take. You call yourself the Son of God? Kind of hard, huh? I mean, does nobody else ever claim that? I mean, today we know that if somebody comes and says, he's the Son of God. The Son of God. How could you believe? So he don't say they're waiting for the Messiah, but they didn't know that the Messiah will come as a man and die as a Lamb of God. They expect the Messiah to come as king to set up the kingdom for them. So when Jesus said, I am the Father, I want, they couldn't take it. So how many? They start falling away. All start leading Christ. Thousand. Then even a 500. Then after that, the 12 standing there, Jesus said, you want to lead me too? But see, at least Peter is wise at that time. And he had the revelation. So where do we go? Thou have the word of eternal life. Where would we go? Today, where will we go? The only place that we go is always to be in the Word. Right? Because He is the Word of life. The Father in me, I'm in the Father. You in me, and I'm in you. That's right. So He's gathering His wheat into the garner. Let me show this. Remember the story of Esther? No, remember the story of Esther? And we are talking about separation, we are talking about purification and threshing floor. Esther, now all the maidens in the king's palace, before they go appear before Pharaoh, the king, all those maidens must go through a year of purification. 12 months of purification. Wow. What's the reason? 12 months of purification, cleansing, before the maiden could appear before the king. That's Esther. So we must go through a purification before we appear before Christ our King. Because in that day, if you know your revelation, if you know your faith, then you will know that we are all going to stand before Him and meet Him. That's why in my vision, the very night on the morning shuttle, the King is coming. And I look, the Lord is here. And there stood the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the King is coming. The Lord is coming. He's coming for us. That will be physically while we could see Him. But right now, we can see Him with our spiritual eye. For He is with us. We cannot meet Him if we are not separated, if we are not pure, if we are not cleansed properly. That's why the Word of God, that's why God sent us a message to come out of her in the book of Revelation. Come out of her, my people. Who is her? The mother of harlots. Come out of this darkness of these systems. They are not the bride of Christ. They are not the wife of Christ. The real bride and wife of Christ are those who are called of God. And they flee. They run away from idolatry. You get it? And we have to come to the Word of God. And when we pray, how do we pray? Either you look up to the heavens and you talk to the Lord, or you humble yourself and bow your head and pray to Him in spirit and in truth. You don't pray to an image. An image cannot talk to you. That's true. The Bible tells us that. The eyes, but they cannot see. The ear, but cannot hear. And yet we have in Russia, we have in Europe, how the church started, Catholicism, the church in Rome. Then after that, there was a split. Well, we have the Eastern Orthodox and the West, the Greek Orthodox, and even the Greek Orthodox separated from Catholicism because of Eurasian history, you will know how they separate. And yet they still hold all those relics. There's no virtue. Some people, some Christians, they go to Jerusalem, and when to Jerusalem and come back, they think it was a great thing. I went to Jerusalem, I went to Israel. I was there in the visit the tomb of Christ. I was there, you know, in Jordan. I walked where he walked. I mean, it's like a great thing to me, to them. When you walk where he walked, it's to walk the word that he walked with God. Huh? Remember my message, my treasure. This is a treasure. Walk with God in his word. He walks with me in his word. That's what we want. Going to a place, what we call, you know, a special place where the proper walk, or even today, they are brandomized, they want to go to where, to America, to, you know, to visit Brother Branham's home. Or even touch that car where Brother Branham got into an accident. Oh, I remember some of the things that I read, I couldn't believe it. People went there to the car where Brother Branham died in. There was a wreck. They would take what you call the rear view mirror or plug something up, maybe the handle, as if like some virtue in it. And there are those who went to his home. But at that time, Sister Meta was there. They want to go into the house and sit on Brother Abraham's bed. I was there, passed by, and we saw the Sister Meta and somebody standing outside the porch. And we don't want to go in. She already had too much stress. And people who just think that, oh, they must touch something, where they want to go to Brother Abraham's library book. You know, library, a study place. They just want to be there. Oh my, just to see Brother Abraham's chair. Woo! The Holy Spirit. What is that? Is that true? People are so religious. They go to a place. I mean, look at the Jew. They go to the Wailing Wall, right? They go to the Wailing Wall, they put their hands there, they will, you know, do all the ritual of praying. Yes, I know, because they don't know the Messiah yet. They are attached to the wall because that is where, behind it, on the other side, is where the temple that was destroyed. And even Christian visit the place. And if you go to the Wailing Wall, what do you see in the wall? Pieces of paper, writing requests, and insert into it. Right? You've been there, you see that, right? As if there's some virtue, take a piece of paper, write, Lord, I request that you do this for me. Insert in that. You want to ask God for something? Talk to him. Go on your knees and talk to him. So it's as simple as that. God is there to hear you. His ear is not deaf. His arm is not short. That he cannot provide you. The question is, you come to him not on your tomb, but on his tomb. Humble yourself. Be, you know, have humility. To know, first of all, you need him, that you are a sinner. And cry out unto him. Not say, Lord, you know, I'm a good man. You know, I'm a good man. I've done this for you. You know, all your works are 50 rags. The Bible said that. The Bible said there's none good. Not one. So, anybody here is good? You're a good person? Yeah, you know, I talk to people out there, colleague, when I was working with them. Hey, you telling me I'm a sinner? I want you to know, man. I'm a good man. I help my neighbor. I give money to charity. I'm a good person. And he said, I'm a sinner? Hey. You know how they react to you? They are so proud. They think the thing it is. Yeah, and there are those that says, well, you know, I don't know which God is true. The Christian God? Or the Buddhist God? or the Hindu God? Which God is true? I don't know. So I just let them be. Let the gods do whatever they want. You see, no wonder the Bible said no man seeks after God. No man seeks after God. And here we have God seek us. Right? He chose us. He didn't choose God. We know that to be true. Because Paul said so. Written in his word in the book of Ephesians. You have chosen us before the foundation of the world, even before you exist. He has chosen you. And he placed the word out of the gospel before you. And chose you this day whom you shall serve. Come unto me, be you saved. The Father sent the Son to die on the cross. And Jesus said, if I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. What a beautiful picture. Jesus was lifted up when he was nailed to the cross. They lift up the cross and his hand was like this to the cross. When I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. How great is the love of God? This great. Not like this. Not like this. This great. He paid the price for you and me. The other case, I will close with the other case. Here we have Ruth. Interesting story about Ruth. In the book of Ruth, you know the story. She was a Moabite or a Moabitess. Who is Moabite? Who is Moab? Who is Moab? Come on. Yes, one of the sons of Lot. So it was very close, right? It was, Lot was Abraham's nephew. Now Ruth agreed to go with Naomi. Said, your people will be my people. And now you know a good story, a beautiful story. Ruth was told by Naomi how to approach Boaz. You know more Boaz, right? He was a kinsman to Ruth. And Naomi knows that, I mean, Boaz was a rich man. Yeah. I mean, Elimelech, got all of Boaz is a rich man. And Naomi know that he will always be there in the threshing floor at a certain time to do winnowing or to do threshing. And usually it's in the evening time. So Ruth was told by Naomi to dress up properly. Interesting. A threshing floor, approaching the threshing floor, where Boaz will be. What is Jesus now? What is God? God is in his word. Right? This is the threshing floor. This is God's threshing floor. As well as the winnowing area. Because when the grain is threshed and loosed on the floor, that's where the same place where they do the winnowing. So this is our threshing floor. The area where, you know, Paul said when we gather together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. People go to church, they think that it's going to be better. No, it's for the worse. Unless the church is giving you an entertainment. When we gather here, it's to be judged by the Word of God. To line ourselves up with the Word of God. Not to come here to be entertained. To hear a nice choir. You know, some people go to church to hear a nice choir. This is a threshing floor. And who is threshing the floor that night? In Orleans, I mean, Boaz's threshing floor. Who was threshing the floor? Oh, we know it. Boaz himself. I mean, he could have employed servant, right? But the story tells us that Boaz was the type of Christ, the kinsman redeemer. He was there to do the threshing, to do the winnowing. And Naomi knows. So Ruth, dress up nicely. Dress up nicely. And we need to dress up proper. We need to be dressed up with the Word of God. Remember, the Bible said the wife, make herself ready. And unto her was given fine linen, clean and white. You can never meet Christ if your robes, the word robe, are stained with all the filth of the world, the filth of religious tradition, and all the nonsense, the falsehood, the lies. You know, God hates those things. It's an abomination to God. Now, who is going to judge you in the last day when you stand before Him? Who will be sitting there in the throne? The saints? St. Patrick, St. John, St. Peter will be standing, sitting in the throne to judge you? Or Mary is going to judge you? Or Joseph is going to judge you? Who is going to judge you? The one who is going to be judging you is none other than in Christ Jesus. For He died for you. He is the King. He is the Judge. And He is the Savior. So if He saved us, we are cleansed from sin. But in this life that we live, we better line up with the Word. So if we approach Him not clean, what then? That's why we need to be dressed proper with the Word of God. Do you understand? So when she went to the threshing floor of Boaz, Boaz was there, threshing barley. Interesting. Oh, interesting. Jesus is always busy. People think Jesus is sitting in heaven, chipping legs. Jesus Christ says that the Bible tells us that He is interceding for us. Think. And that's why when God appointed me to be His servant to do the work, you don't find me relaxing. I mean, some years back, people say, "Oh, Brother Dan, you're so fortunate, huh? You can travel around the world and see those places." I say, "Yeah, I'm on vacation." You know, the thing like that. I go to India, I went into the village, taking the bus with the people in the bus. In Africa, the same, the brother cannot hire a small van. I mean, those vans are, you know, bone shaker type. We will take the public bus. I always still remember when I take the public bus one time in India. You know, the bus, the door is low. Anyway, Singapore here, the bus, when you step down, and you run down. Of course, now the bus is different. Now the old bus, remember, there's a step. I didn't know in India, I jumped down, pop, hit that, honestly. On that, didn't tell that. Hit my head like that. I could have fallen backwards. So, and the bus there, of course, non-aircon, dusty, and when the bus moved, the window, and in Philippines, I know what they call rabbit. I can't remember, there was one, they called a rabbit bus, something like that. I was sitting behind, there was a hole on the floor. And all that, you know, when the car bus in, all the car rabbit bus. There is a rabbit bus, alright, with all the dust coming out. You know, people think that, well, I'm on good vacation, seeing the country. Going into the interior with all that place is a big stress. a lot of pollution. When Jesus was on his mission, he walked, right? He walked for miles. He hardly even take a donkey. He only see a donkey when he went to Jerusalem, right? Most of the time he walked with the staff in his hand, but the disciple with him, they walk for miles. Think about it. And Jesus, when he walked, he was on a vacation. The only time that Jesus took a vacation is when he went to the wilderness to fast. That is a vacation. Fasting time is a vacation. How many of you like it? Fast for 40 days. That's a vacation. No food, just water. How do you like that? So he met there. Boaz. I mean, the wonderful thing, isn't it? Here we have the bride and the kinsman, Redeemer. We approach Boaz. We approach our Lord. Clean. That's why you know we come to the Lord. Don't come here with clean hands. Hands that shed blood. Or the devices, falsehoods and lies. And I cannot understand where all that lies come from in many of the preachers around the world. All the falsehoods is something to deceive the people. No wonder the book of Matthew chapter 7, 21, 22, 23, what did Jesus say? Many will come in the last day. He said, Lord, Lord, I have done this wonderful work for you. I have healed the sick, raised the dead. Jesus said, I never knew you. Oh, but I did very wonderful work in your name. I raised the dead in your name. I healed the sick in your name. Jesus said, I never knew you. And now I think all of you will be shocked. I never knew you. I mean, as I said before, the preacher was said to Jesus, what do you mean you never knew me? I know you. You said, pray in your name, I pray in your name. Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. A lot of people with the Bible don't even know what the meaning of the word knew. It's as simple as the word knew, I never knew means I have never really had intimacy with you. A lot of people know Jesus, they say. But the question is, does Jesus know them? How many of you here in the Philippines here? I mean, you'll be Singapore, no, huh? How many of you heard Marcos Jr.? Now he's the president. Right? You have, right? I mean, you're Filipinos, you know, right? But does he know you? Yeah. You see, the problem is this. I know Jesus is my Savior. But the question is, Jesus, does Jesus know you? Are you truly His? Or just because you claim it? You understand? So we are talking about this threshing floor. We need to be prepared. Esther comes to the king after a year of cleansing. The king, before we come to the king, we need to be cleansed. And Ruth, before he met Boaz, who is her kinsman redeemer, before we meet our Boaz, who is our kinsman redeemer, because he is our redeemer. How do we dress ourselves? Are we dressing pure white? Or we have smudges and blemishes on our garment, our what we call wedding garment? We as wife of Christ, we need to make ourselves ready. Because the time will soon come when He will call us to the marriage supper of the Lamb up there in the heaven. And I'm looking forward to that. In the next few years, pray that He will come, that He will not tarry. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord bless every one of you. Precious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for thy word, O Lord.
Thank you for strength for me to stand here. Thank you for everything. We are happy, Father. We are glad. We are at peace because of our Boaz, who is our Redeemer, has given us that. And has given us the word that we should clean ourselves before we approach Him. The Lord, that we be worthy of the gospel of the word of Christ. If we say that we are a believer, a Christian, a child of God, then we ought to behave and act likewise. For many in the world today, Lord, they call themselves Christians, are not living right. Truly, Father, you have those whom you have called and given to Christ, the great shepherd, and we know those who are called, Father, will hear the voice of the one shepherd. Father, we thank you, Lord. Bless the rest of the day now, bless the word. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.